Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network, and I am Constance Arnold, your host for the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. And, of course, I am coming to you live with lots of love and just a touch of Southern flavor from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. Well, I want to thank all of you for joining me today from all over the world. And my declaration over your life is, it's your time and the best is yet to come. Well, how are you doing today? I am doing great. It has indeed been a beautiful day here in Atlanta. It's a warm, sunny 70 degrees here, and it feels like the beginning of spring. How has your week been? I've had a great week, and you know something? I have enjoyed reading all of your emails again this week from literally all over the world, and they continue to bless and encourage me. A lot of you wanted to know Pastor Dan Rhodes' website address from last week. I don't know if we forgot to mention that or not, but his address is DestinyNavigators.org, and you can go there and obtain all of his great information. As a matter of fact, I just read a great article that he published this week, so go there and get that great information. Also, so many of you want to know more about my coaching services, so I'm going to take a little time at the beginning of this show to share with you just a quick summary of how we can partner together to help create the extraordinary life that you desire through coaching with me. First of all, I am called by God to be a success coach. It's my gift. I am currently coaching people all over the world. And coaching with me will help you produce extraordinary results in your life. I will partner with you to concentrate on where you are and create clarity, intentions, and actions to take you to your awesome future, and you know you have one. I have a proven coaching system that will produce extraordinary results in your life over a short period of time. And the bottom line is you can't do it alone. I tried doing it alone for many, many years, mostly out of my own pride, shame, and feelings of inadequacy. And guess what? Nothing happened for me. And I currently have three coaches, and I can truly say that I would not be where I am today without them. So as all of you know, I am a licensed professional counselor and a certified coach with 25 years of experience. And I probably have coached, and I've stopped counting, almost 10,000 clients during my career, ranging from five-time Grammy winners to stay-at-home moms who are just ready to re-enter the job market. So if you are ready to take your life to the next level, contact me for a complimentary coaching session, and we'll take a look and see if we are fit, and let's partner together to make this the best year of your life. So you can email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com or visit my website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com to view the many coaching packages that are available to you. And remember, if you want something different, you have to do something different. Okay, so I hope that really answered a lot of your questions about my coaching services. So let's move on. We have an extraordinary guest with us today, but I have some questions for you before he comes on. How many of you are feeling just a little frustrated with what's going on in your life right now? Raise your hand. You know I can see you. Raise your hand. Okay, I see those hands in Europe and other international countries. Do you have dreams that have not manifested? Do you feel that you are living a life of silent desperation? Do you feel that you are living a life of mediocrity, but you know that there is greatness on the inside of you? Are you ready to live the abundant life that God has designed specifically for you? Now, if you answered yes to any of those questions, today we will be exploring vital secrets to living an extraordinary life. Get ready to learn indispensable principles and practices for living a successful life. Well, today we are honored to have my friend and my brother, DiCarlo Eskridge, who will be sharing about secrets to an extraordinary life. DiCarlo is a spiritual life coach, trainer, and motivational speaker. He is the author of God and the Law of Attraction and has authored and independently published several books through his company, New Day Enterprises, where he serves as president and CEO. He reads over 50 books a year. Can you believe that? And listens to countless hours of audio programs. He is a certified life coach through Franklin Covey. He is an ordained minister with over 25 years of biblical study and is called by God to encourage and coach people to live life purposefully and abundantly. And, you know, we're just really blessed to have him on the show tonight. DiCarlo Eskridge, welcome again to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thanks for having me, Constance.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. So tell our listeners just a little bit more about your life and your work and what you feel that you're called to do.
Well, you know, about 10 years ago, I was like most people. I did not believe that I was destined for anything more than what I was doing. I was working in telecommunication, and something hit me. And basically the thought that hit me was that I wanted to attract wealth and abundance in my life. But it was only at that point that I began to believe that it was possible. Strangely enough, prior to that moment, I didn't even think that it was possible. I thought that wealth and abundance was for a certain group of people, but I didn't think that it applied to me. And it's funny because that year I was probably making $35,000 a year. And when I had that mind change or that mindset change, all of a sudden I went from $35,000 to $80,000 a year. But this was all because of a mindset. I saw it as possible. And as, like I said prior to that, I didn't even see it as possible, let alone a person like me. And, of course, wonderful things have happened since then, but that's just the beginning. And my hope for the listeners is that they can just begin seeing it as possible.
And so you changed, you had a mindset change. Is that what happened to you? You changed your mind about what was possible for you in your life.
Exactly. And it's just a matter of reading a few new books, taking in new ideas, new concepts, and taking on new beliefs. But I had a mindset change, exactly.
So how does a person read 50 books a year?
One at a time.
One at a time. That's a great answer, DiCarlo.
The thing is, when you begin to enjoy what it is that you're doing and you get so engrossed in the book, it gets to a place where you don't even want to put it down. So it's actually it's very simple once you get started with the process. And not all of them are 300-page books. Some of them are short. Some of them are longer. So it may take me a few days to read a smaller book, and then I may spend more time, maybe a few weeks, on a larger book.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. So let's get started. You're going to be sharing with our listeners the secrets to an extraordinary life because, DiCarlo, I think most people are just living ordinary lives, and we were never created by God to just live ordinary lives.
I agree.
So let's talk about the law of attraction. You know, my number one question is, what is the law of attraction and how can my listeners begin using the law of attraction right now in their lives?
Well, my definition of the law of attraction is actually quite simple, but I think in its simplicity it becomes profound. What you think, it is. Now, what does that mean? I could say, Constance, what you think it is, and you say, DiCarlo, I'm not sure, what is it, you know, but in that phrase is the answer to the law of attraction, what you think is, and scholars throughout the centuries have said it differently, Buddha said, all that we are is a result of what we have thought. Jesus says, all things are possible if you believe. But what you think is, or I can say it another way, what you think becomes. And now people say, well, DiCarlo, I'm not buying that. Because, see, I've thought positive thoughts my whole life, and I'm not seeing the manifestation. Ancient scripture says this, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what happens is that thought and emotion become a mix. And whatever we're thinking and emotionalizing most of the time is being manifested in our lives. And I can look at any person's life, and no matter what they're saying they believe, I can see the results of their beliefs by their lifestyle. So
right.
What you think is or becomes.
That's a great definition, and it's so simple. And I want to go back to what you said about it's not only what you think, but it's the emotions or the passion behind what you think. Because if a person is really angry or in a rage, there's a lot of emotion behind that. Just like if a person is feeling wealth, there is a lot of emotion and passion around that. And I think that that's where a lot of law of attraction practitioners are sort of missing it. They are forgetting about the emotion or the passion behind their thinking.
I agree.
So how can somebody who's listening right now begin to use the law of attraction? I know you said we need to change our thinking. What would that look like in the average person's life?
The truth of the matter is everybody, every listener out there is using the law of attraction right now. The goal is to become conscious practitioners. And what I mean by that is that we need to understand that our thoughts are manifesting something. Now, to the creators out there, my question to those creators, what are you manifesting? So if you're not happy with what's being manifested in your life at this moment, begin thinking about what it is that you desire, what it is that you want. Let that become your predominant thought. You know, there's an ancient script that says, you know, resist error and draw nigh to good, and good will draw nigh to you. When we begin to move from erroneous thinking or the things that we don't want, and we begin focusing and setting our attention on the things that we desire and making that our predominant thought, we become purposeful practitioners in the law of attraction.
I love that. So they would need to, on purpose, consciously begin to practice with their thoughts what they want to create. For example, if a person wanted more wealth, they would need to consciously think on and feel wealth on a daily basis instead of lack. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And when we're talking about wealth, now some people say, you know, I've thought about wealth my whole life and I'm not seeing the manifestation. The thing is, we keep looking for wealth on the outside, but I am abundance. You are abundance. The funny thing about abundance, a man can walk in the airport, nothing but the clothes on his back, and see the Statue of Liberty and be welcomed into America. But within that individual, he could have a $1 billion ideal that he's just waiting to unleash. And we are all the same. We all have gifts and talents within us. And what happens is those gifts and talents make way for our abundance. It's not the reverse. But many of us are looking at the effect, and we're missing the cause. But the first cause is in our thinking. So when we begin to see abundance as a possibility and we say, well, what is in me that I can create abundance or that I can bless others, and begin utilizing whatever that thing is, abundance is going to be the byproduct of that.
Right, so it's an inside job.
It's an inside job.
You know, you mentioned the power of I am. What does that mean? Expound on that for our listeners.
I am. I am is two of the most powerful words in the universe, and we have to take heed to what we attach to the words I am. We see when Moses was talking to the burning bush, he said, who should I say sent me? And the creator of the universe said, tell them that I am sent me. When we say I am, we're actually lining ourselves up with the creator of the universe. So we have to be careful what we attach to I am. And what I mean by that, I can't go around saying I am stupid, for example. I'm not smart. I'm not good enough. Because what happens is that becomes that individual's reality. And until we begin to change the I am and what we attach to the I am, we will continue to get the things that we've attached to the I am prior to that. So bottom line is we have to be mindful of what we attach to I am. And I give you a quick story here. A friend of mine, we worked in telecommunications, and he's a brilliant engineer. But one day he was frustrated, and he said, "Man, I am so stupid." And I looked over at him, and I was very serious. I said, "Don't be talking about my friend like that." You know,
right.
And he laughed because, you know, there was a humor in it. But the truth of the matter was he was talking about himself, and he didn't realize that he was manifesting that which he was saying about himself, so I had to correct him.
Right. And so when people say, "I'm broke," I just hate to hear people say that because they're creating their own lives. It's really a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Exactly.
And your words create your own life when you say those kinds of things or when you're in that state of being. I am broke or I am wealthy or I am healthy. You actually attract that into your life. Is that correct?
That's correct. And as I stated earlier, we're continuously, whether we realize it or not, we're continuously operating the law of abundance. But like I said, the goal of this program, hopefully by the end of it, that we'll have conscious practitioners out there.
So that's on purpose, begin to think and feel what you desire to come to pass in your life and to place your attention, your focus on the dominant thought that you want to manifest in your life.
You said the whole workshop, but yes, that's exactly it. And it's, the thing is you can't say it enough, but you're right.
Right, right, because even in my own life, I really have to monitor and watch my thoughts and make sure that I am consciously creating and thinking on what I want to manifest in my life. So what role does desire play in the law of attraction? How important is that, DiCarlo?
If anything that you've seen created in the world, anything that you've seen done in history, it all began with the desire. And, you know, I looked up the Latin of desire, and it said, "of God."
I did not know that.
And so what we find with the word the desire, even the desire of itself is God-ordained. See, we have desires to be successful, like a tree has a desire to grow and to raise its branches up to the heights of the sky. That's the tree's natural. And ours is also that of expansion. We have been created to expand, and we're continuously, you know, we reach one goal or we reach one pedestal and, you know, one ideal or concept in our life, and we say, you know, now I'm ready for that next goal. Desire is that important element. And the thing is, not everybody that's listening out there has the desire to be the president of the United States. But whatever that desire is that you have within you, that means that you have also within yourself the tools and the means to carry that desire out because God's placed that desire in you.
Wow. So if a person really has a burning desire to start a business, God has already placed all of the skills and tools and abilities on the inside of that person, and all they have to do is activate it.
They just need to begin walking out. And the things that they seemingly lack, the truth of the matter is everything's in the seed. We look at an oak tree, and we look at the seed, and we say, you know, what is this? But this wonderful seed will eventually go into this wonderful, large, beautiful oak tree. The same with us. You know, everything that we need is within us already. And what happens is as we begin to cultivate those things that God has placed in us, then we'll get a little more. And the more that we're getting is knowledge, more information, to how to execute that which is in us already. So, yes, everything that we need is within us. But now there's a part that most of us miss, especially when we're talking about the law of attraction. We think that thinking is enough. But, see, if we're just thinking about what it is that we desire and we don't take the steps or the action, we're doing nothing more than wishful thinking or daydreaming, as it were. We have to implement the action of that next thing that we've been called to do.
I know a lot of people really criticize the movie The Secret, and I really applaud the lady who really put together the movie, because I think it was a spiritual awakening for many people, but they were saying that they didn't have enough information as far as how you need to take action steps. So we all know in life that once you think something and you visualize it, then God will give you divine intuition, and you can just begin to take small baby steps toward what you desire.
I agree. And the funny thing is, you know, the only thing you need at this moment is the one step.
That's good.
We don't need the whole path. And matter of fact, it normally doesn't unfold itself, giving us the whole vision of what's going to take place. What we need to be faithful in is just taking the single step. And as we take just that one step, whatever it is that you've been called to do today, what's going to open up is another step and another opportunity. But see, many of us want the package. We want the GPS system that tells us exactly how to get there, or we want to go into MapQuest and we want to map out the universe's plan for our life.
That's so true.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen that way.
Well, you know, I'm a great example of that. And, you know, my radio show, people always ask me, how do you get New York Times bestsellers on your show? And I said, I make a phone call or I send an email. It's just a step. And then they respond back. And I think that's a great, really, information for our listeners to understand that all they have to do is take one step. So what about your attitude during this whole creation process? Because, you know, it can become a little laborious and people get a little frustrated when they don't see anything happening in the natural. What should a person's attitude be when they're in the process of creating?
Well, let me start off by giving this phrase here. Heaven and hell are often one and the same, depending upon one's mental frame. Now, what do I mean by that? Two people can find themselves in the very same situation. And you, for example, let's talk about a movie. Two people go and see the same movie. And you ask both people, you say, well, how was the movie? One comes out and says, it was the best movie I've ever seen. Another person comes out and says, that movie, it was so bad, I can't even describe it.
Right.
Now, what was the difference? What was the difference was the two individuals' attitude in stepping into the movie. One could have been going through something. The other one, the movie was a timely release for what it was that they needed at that moment. But the single word that comes into play is attitude. I've worked with people, countless number of people, you know, in my career and so forth. And what I find that distinguishes most people, that person that's on the top and that person that stays below, is the simple word attitude. And when we start thinking about law of attraction, if you have an attitude, say, well, nothing ever goes right for me. You know, every time I try to do something, you know, bad things happen. Well, you know, I knew I was going to get sick. If that's your attitude, then you're going to be hit with all this negativity continuously in your life. Now, what if your attitude is, you know, I'm going to seek the good in this situation no matter how bad it seems? Which person is going to come out a lot quicker and a lot more unscathed, as it were, the one with the right attitude.
Right, the one seeking the good in the situation.
Seeking the good. You know, and the funny thing is we all have the opportunity to see that which is negative or that which is positive. And it's up to us to determine, I'm going to try to find what's positive in the situation for me and start there.
And sometimes that's very difficult because, you know, bad things do happen to good people. So how does a person not get mired or stuck in the bad things that may happen to them, which may hinder their creation process?
Well, you know, the thing is about bad things, they happen to us all. The question is, how am I going to view this thing here that's happening in my life? Everybody out there listening, if they're not going through something they've been through, and if they haven't been through, they're about ready to go through. The question is, how am I going to go through this situation? I mean, so if you're talking about a job loss, if you're talking about a loss of a loved one, a separation, a divorce, whatever that thing is that you're going through, the question is, how am I going to go through that thing? And for me, what I found has been beneficial is realizing that my life has a greater purpose than what I'm going through. If we can see, especially for young people that are listening, if you can see your life and what the universe desires to do through your life in your person, if we had a bigger vision for our life when bad things happen and we can look to that bigger vision of touching lives and changing lives of others, the bad things are going to seem small in comparison. A lot of times the problem is it's not the bad things, but it's what we've got our attention set on. See, when we have a universe that things just happen seemingly and we play no part in it, then we see these bad things happening, we become victims.
Right.
But if we see a universe that we say, you know, my life is more than this present situation, and I'm going to trust the universe, God, whatever you call the source. You know, and before I go on, I want to say something here because, you know, I know that you have some people out there that may not believe in God. And I just want to add something. Some of the greatest believers in faith are atheists. Atheists often have a greater stance on faith than religious people. Now, that may sound foreign to many people out there. And you're like, well, what is DiCarlo talking about? See, the atheist, he or she will say, you know what, I don't believe in something out there that's going to make things happen in my life. If something's going to happen in my life, it's going to be because of me. And see, the true believer understands that I and my Father are one. So God's not going to do for us what he can do through us. And so the atheist at that point becomes closer because he realizes that, he or she realizes that the divine in them is going to bring about what it is that they're seeking to manifest in the world, whereas many religious people keep looking out there. You know, we talked about it earlier. We talked about going within. And so as we go within, what we see is that all that we need in that seed called us is within us.
You know, that's so true. If you're just joining me, I'm speaking with DiCarlo Eskridge, and DiCarlo is sharing with us the secrets to an extraordinary life. He is the author of God and the Law of Attraction. Well, DiCarlo, let's talk about abundance. What is abundance, and how can a person begin to attract it into their lives? Does God want us to live an abundant life?
I can answer that in a simple answer. Yes, he does. Now, I realize that when we talk about poverty, impoverishment is a human condition of the mind. It's neither spiritual nor divine. But within the religious community, we've made impoverishment this thing that's it's almost like impoverishment is next to cleanliness, and we say that both of those were next to godliness. And the funny thing about cleanliness, the great teacher, when he walked the earth, Jesus, they got on him for not being clean. And what I mean by that, they said, well, why don't you wash your hands? I only say that to dispel this thing about cleanliness being next to godliness. And Jesus said it's not what is outside of a man, but it's what's in him that comes out. So it's not about him washing his hands. But the same thing about impoverishment, thinking that this means that we're spiritual and that we're closer to God when we're broke. That's far from scripture, and I would take you back to ancient texts. It says that when the divine creator said, you know, I'm going to bless you, he said that your lands will be fertile, that you will give abundance in your crop, that your crops will reproduce. We call that wealth today.
Right.
Now, what he said about impoverishment, he said that your lands wouldn't be fertile, that your cattle would not reproduce, that your grounds would be dry. We call that impoverishment today. God called that a curse back in Deuteronomy. So my whole point is I want us to understand that we can best serve the universe, others, by a spirit of abundance. And see, now the question is, what is abundance? Abundance is not something that we acquire. It's who we are. We are abundance, and we're abundance manifested. If you look at anything in the world, any great discovery, any great building, cathedral, statue of liberty, the Eiffel Tower, it started off with a thought.
Right.
Everything starts off with thoughts. So if your listeners are out there and they're saying, Carl, I need that breakthrough. Then I would have to say, like the Creator said to Moses, and I would say to you, what's in your hands? Now, what does that mean? You say, well, Carl, what's in my hand? Right now I have a pen in my hand. When I say what's in your hand, what skills and abilities do you have that you can bless somebody else with? The difference between us and Donald Trump and Bill Gates is that they found that thing that they could bless others with, and, of course, they made a profit off of it, but they found that thing that they could bless the most amount of people. My thing to you creators out there, what is it that you have within you? What is that talent, that gift, that skill that you have that you can bless others with? And I would say start early on by giving it away.
Absolutely. Well, you know, that's what I did for many years, DiCarlo, before I was actually paid for my speaking or coaching or counseling. For 10 years, I helped churches. I would speak pro bono, just serving and giving. And after I gave myself away, then money came to me. And that's what I would encourage our listeners to do. What's in your hand? If you are an artist, maybe begin painting and take that painting to old people's home or something like that. Or if you love children, maybe once a month go to a homeless shelter and just begin to read to small children. And when you begin to give away, it will come back to you. That's a great point, that they can just start to take small baby steps with the skills and the gifts that are on the inside of them. And DiCarlo, once again, it's an inside job.
Inside job.
Right. Well, let's talk a little bit about forgiveness in this whole process. How important is forgiving someone who hurt you, who mistreated you, who betrayed you when you are in the process of consciously creating?
Forgiveness, it says, you know, before you bring your gift to the altar, make sure that if you have anything between you and your brother to get that thing reconciled. It also says that if you don't forgive your brother, that the universe won't forgive you. Now, some say, well, is the universe, is God keeping a scorecard? Not at all. But we're dealing with the law of cause and effect. It's not that God is keeping you from being blessed. It's that you're keeping yourself from being blessed. And I have a phrase, and I say it this way, when you forgive but yourself. When we forgive others, we're actually opening up the doors so that we can be forgiven of anything that may be in our conscious mind or subconscious mind that's hindering us from going forward is released at that moment. I always tell people when I'm coaching, when I'm counseling, listen, forgiveness is not about the other person. Get selfish and forgive for yourself. That's the most wonderful thing that you can do for yourself, because if you have unresolved issues, you're going to hinder the blessings in your life because you're going to be blinded by the things that you're failing to forgive others for.
Right, and I think it dilutes your power.
I agree.
I think it dilutes your creating power, and I think that you cannot create in confusion and unforgiveness. And so you really have to make a quality decision that I would not allow what this person did to me stop me from being the conscious creator that God created me to be.
And to add to that, you know, something came to mind when you were speaking. How can two walk together unless they agree? Now, I'm speaking of two, and I'm talking about you and your good. Listeners, how can you and your good walk together unless there's a spirit of agreement between you? So if you want to be in that place where you can receive the blessings of the universe, then you can't be hindered by a spirit of unforgiveness because, see, to that extent, you're, as you stated, Constance, you're blocking out that good from coming to you. It's a wall that's penetrating, and the good's trying to bump against that wall and it's trying to make it to you, but it can't.
Right, and I'm just a living example of that. You know, just a couple of years ago, I really had to give someone who really, really, really hurt me, and it was a difficult process. But as long as I was walking in unforgiveness, that person had power over my life. Even though they had moved on and I had moved on, my thoughts and emotions were still in, you know, I'm hurt, I'm really disappointed, I feel betrayed. But it was a quality decision. And I'm just going to say to our listeners, there are some things in your life that really only God can help heal you from. And that's what I had to do. I really had to cry out to God and say, God, please help me with this situation. And when I did that, I felt healed and empowered, and I was able to move on and really walk more fully in my purpose and destiny.
You know, and I like what you just said also. You said that that individual had gone on with their life.
Right.
How many of us have been in traffic, somebody cut us off, and we let that set the whole tone for our whole day? So we're all messed up, and we're still thinking about later on at 4 o'clock when it's time to get off, we're still upset about the person that cut us off earlier that day. They've gone on with their day. They've had a good day, bad day, indifferent, doesn't matter, but they've gone on with their life. And what I find myself doing, I've actually been doing this probably for the last 10 to 7 years, basically, when somebody cuts me off, I have to release it almost immediately. And the way that I find easiest for me to release it is I basically say, I don't know what that individual is going through. I don't know what they're rushing to. I don't know if they've come from something that's been traumatizing. We don't know what another individual is going through. But what I find for me is it allows me to release that individual that's just cut me off, and I surrender my portion or that portion of the road to that person, and I just release it.
Well, I have a question. Do you feel that some people believe that some people are born unlucky? A lot of people talk about luck. Expound on that concept.
Well, luck is life's opportunities creating after its kind. And what does that mean?
Say that again.
Luck is life's undertaking creating after its kind. And what I mean by that, when we begin, we talk about the law of cause and effect. The person that we see luckiest, let's look at Edison, for example. Thomas Edison, 10,000 times the story has been told that he tried to find a filament for the light bulb. And they said, well, why would you continue 10,000 times after 10,000 failures to keep trying to find this filament for the light bulb? He said, well, I didn't see it as 10,000 failures, but I saw it as 999,000 ways of how not to do something. Luck, when we see somebody and we say that they've been lucky, as it were, what we fail to see is the lifestyle that they've lived before. So what I call luck is life's undertaking creating after its kind. Because, see, as we continue on a certain path, people could probably look at my lifestyle, not knowing everything, and say, he's been a lucky person.
Right.
Because they're seeing the manifestation of my decisions. You understand?
Right.
When we continue on a certain course and making good decisions, and you're a prime example of that. I mean, I remember when your leg was broken, you were out, and you didn't know, you know, what was going to happen to you next. And now I'm looking at this wonderful program where you're blessing people. Now, some people can look at Constance not knowing what you've been through. Now, and I've been with you, so I understand what you've been through. But people can look at Constance and say, you know, she sure is lucky. She's getting ready to go on this cruise. She's touching the lives of thousands, and she's making a difference. She's lucky. But what I know about Constance is that Constance has experienced her life's undertakings creating after its kind.
That's nothing but the truth. That's nothing but the truth. But thank you for that. That's great insight. I never heard that before. Well, you know, I'll have to ask you one of the two main questions that are sent to my email almost on a daily basis. How does one attract their ideal mate?
I'm taking a breath before I go into this because this is very important. I know there's a lot of people out there on the edge of their seats because they're wondering how. And
right, because that is the number, besides attracting wealth and money into their lives, the next question that people email me from all over the world is, how do I attract my ideal mate? Because we were created for love. God created us to be loving, nurturing human beings and in relationships. So what can you say to our listeners about attracting their ideal mate?
Well, I would start off and ask the question, how do you feel? And you say, well, Carla, what does that have to do with attracting your mate? The thing is, many of us want to believe that likes attract likes, but that's not totally true. You could be the most gentle person in the world and attract this very violent person. Now, you say, well, what happened there?
How does that happen?
How does that happen? You could be the nicest person and attract, as you know, a scoundrel. How does that happen? It comes back to how do you feel. See, the truth of the matter is we don't want to attract a mate in our life when we're in a down period, when we're depressed, when we're hurting, even when we're lonely. I used to be under the teaching of Charles Stanley, and he used to say, he had this acronym or acrostic called HALT. Never allow yourself to get too hungry, too angry, too lonely, or too tired. And the reason why I bring that up is because when you're trying to attract your ideal mate, you know, earlier in the year we had a young lady that was speaking how she attracted her husband over the Internet or her future husband over the Internet. But she said something that was very important. She said that she had to get herself in the right state. Many of us are wanting to attract the right mate, but we're not in the right state. And so what happens is because we're not in the right state when we meet this person, we're unhappy. But yet we want to attract somebody into our lives to make us happy. It can't happen.
And so by state, you mean being in a state of loving yourself, being in a state of living purposefully, being in a state of feeling abundant about yourself. Is that what you mean by state?
All of the above. All of the above. Okay. See, the thing is, you know, the scripture says this, love the universe with all your heart, your soul, your mind. Now, people would say also God. But love thy neighbor as yourself. Now, what happens is we begin trying to love our neighbor, and we say, well, you know, I can try to love my neighbor and I can try to love God, but I can't love me because I got all this baggage or this, I'm just not lovable.
Right.
And so we take I'm not lovable into our relationships, and pretty soon what happens is the person that we've drawn into our lives at that point, they say, well, this person doesn't love themselves, so let me take advantage of this opportunity. Whereas when we're loving ourselves, and I don't mean it in a narcissistic type of way. I'm saying the way that we're supposed to love ourselves, the way that God loves us. When we love ourselves appropriately and we realize that God loves us and that we're one with God and that we're one with that person that we're loving on, at that point we say to people when they come into our lives, you know, you can't treat me that way because I'm worth more than that. I'm worthy of more than that. When we have the right concept of who we are, then we can love somebody else more appropriately. But the problem is, like I said, we're stepping into relationships and we're looking for somebody to fill it, a black hole, as it were, of unhappiness. We have to fill that void ourselves before we step out into a relationship, and too many of us are stepping into unhealthy relationships because we don't have a good relationship with ourselves, a loving
right.
relationship.
And so, once again, it's an inside job. It's going in, loving yourself, caring about yourself, and being in just a state of expectancy, loving, nurturing, and just really a state of deserving love.
Exactly. And because
right.
the truth of the matter is we all are deserving of love. And it's not because of who we are, but because of whose we are.
Right.
We have a divine creator of the universe that loves us. And if we understand his love, her love, its love, whatever you want to call that divine love, he says, through Scripture, I am love. So our first priority to ourselves is to be love, and to be loved by others. And when we see ourselves as deserving and loving ourselves, when we step into a relationship that's not loving, we can easily say, you know what? This is not for me because, see, this person is not seeking my best interest. And at that point, we can step away because we see that that individual is not going to love us the way that we deserve. Now, some people say, well, you know, I'd rather be in that unloving relationship than be by myself. But the truth of the matter, if you're in an unloving relationship, you're by yourself.
Oh, that's very powerful. Well, if you're just joining me, I'm talking with DiCarlo Eskridge, and he's sharing about the secrets to an extraordinary life. DiCarlo is the author of God and the Law of Attraction. We only have about 10 more minutes. Can you believe it? Let's talk about what has been the greatest discovery of our time. We're talking about secrets to an extraordinary life.
Well, you know, a number of people have said it a number of different ways, but, you know, I like the way that William James said it. He said that the greatest discovery of my generation is that a human being can alter his life by altering his attitude of mind. Bottom line is, change your mind, change your life. And most of us, because it sounds so simple, we miss it. But the mind, the body, is all a vehicle for the soul.
And so it's that simple. My listeners, just listen to what he said. Change your mind, change your thinking, and your life will change. It's that simple.
It's that simple. What's the difference between us and anybody that's done anything great in the world? They're thinking. I mean, they get up like we do. They go to sleep like we do. They eat. They do everything that we do. The only thing that they do differently is they think differently. And when we begin to think differently, when we begin to see it, as I told you 10 years ago when I said that I'm going to be wealthy, when I made that decision, it was that decision 10 years ago that placed me where I'm at today. So when we begin to just change our thoughts, start there. Don't make it complicated. And many of us are going to say there has to be more than that. Once you change your thoughts, you're going to change your conversation. You're going to change your actions. So there's going to be a series of things that follow. But first thing that has to happen, it may be that person saying, you know what, I'm dumping this guy. This guy that has been treating me so bad, that person's out there listening in radio land on the internet, and they're saying, you know what, tomorrow I'm letting that person go because I'm worth more than that. And because of that simple decision, either one or two things are going to happen. Either that person is going to say, okay, this person is serious and they realize that they desire and deserve to be loved, or I got to get stepping. I got to go.
Bye.
I got to move on. You know. So the thing is, but it's as simple as that individual realizing that they're worthy of love.
And so we really consciously create with our thinking and with what we say and with what we believe.
There's no other way. Without those three, I mean, when we, and the thing is now we say, well, many people out there in the listening audience, they're saying, but I've been thinking right thoughts. I do positive affirmations. But the thing that you're missing, the thing that all great people have in common, is they act, think, and speak with a sense of certainty. Now, what do I mean? They know that they know that they know that they know. When you get to that place, whatever it is that you desire, how long, Constance, should a child try to walk?
Until they walk.
Until they walk. When you're listening, audience, when we, and I include myself, when we get to a place that we know, that we know, that we know, that we know, that the thing that we desire is going to be manifested, it's only a matter of time before the manifestation. And I'm not talking about this pie in the sky, I hope so, you know, well, I'm wishing, but, you know, if it doesn't happen, I got an alternate plan. You have to take whatever that desire is and live it as though it's your reality. Until it manifests or till you take in the glory, whatever comes first. But you live it out till you bring it about.
And so in summary, what would you say to our listening audience? What would be some steps to attract what we desire?
I'm glad that you asked, Constance, because, you know, I think about a friend. He's like a brother to me. And I will often ask him, because I'm stepping into this story purposefully. I would often ask, he says, well, you know, I'm miserable in my job. He's a computer geek. I mean, anytime I have problems with my computer, I give him a call, and he can tell me over the phone what I need to do to get it fixed. But I would inquire with, I said, well, he says, I'm miserable in my job. I said, well, what is it that you want to do? And he says, well, I don't know. How many of you out there, you're miserable where you're at, but you don't know where you want to go? But see, and the thing is, if you don't know where you're going, how do you know when you got there? You won't. So the first thing we have to do is decide what it is that we desire and begin asking for that thing. Make a conscious declaration for the thing. Just see it as possible. Don't worry about how that thing is going to be manifested, but you got to have in mind what it is that you desire.
So when you said make a conscious declaration, did you mean write it down, become clear about it, say it out loud so that you can really become clear about what you desire?
There's something magical about goal setting, and I know that you've done the picture board, and I know that there's other people that have done. I keep some things in my wallet. I keep some things ever before me. There's magic in writing things down. The greatest thing is that it says write the vision, make it plain so that those who take it, run with it, you know, that it's clear. we have to take the vision that's been placed in us and put it down so that we can see. You know, an architect don't build a building. He don't just say, well, you know, put the boards over here and put part of the structure over here. He does a blueprint, you know, and he takes that blueprint, and everybody that follows that vision of that building follows his blueprint. When you write it down, what happens is that you put legs to that thing that you have in your mind. All of a sudden it becomes real to you because you can see the image. So it's good to think about it, but you also got to begin to be about it by seeing it laid out on paper. So the first thing is making that conscious statement, and I think the best thing you could do is write it down, make a picture board, but something where you can physically see that thing that you desire to manifest.
Okay.
Secondly, see yourself as possessing that thing in your life, whatever it is, the ideal relationship, the ideal home, car, your dream job. See yourself as already possessing that thing and live in your mind as though you're living out the life of that thing that you're desiring to manifest. So begin living out. Go to a nice hotel. Treat yourself to dinner. You know, it's funny, when my wife and I first got married, we heard about this conference taking place in Hawaii, and we didn't have two nickels to rub together. But I told her, I said, we're going to Hawaii. And that summer, we ended up going to Hawaii and having the best time of our lives. But the only thing that we had at the moment was the concept, you know, the seed being planted as a decision, saying that we're going. So
Okay. Basically
we have to see ourselves already being the person that we desire to become, because when the opportunity presents itself, if you try to become that person at that point, it's too late.
Right. So you decide, you see, and what else?
I said it earlier, and I'll state it again. You know with certainty that that thing that you desire is being manifested, and get excited. And that's when I say, you know that you know that you know. And because you know, you're dancing. You're excited. People think you're crazy, but that's okay. And the thing about these dreams that are being manifested, you're going to have to share these dreams and desires with like-minded people. You can't share it with people that don't have a vision for the things that you have, because they'll talk you out of your dream.
Right.
And so you have to be mindful, lastly, of who you share that dream with.
So would certainty be the same thing as faith or belief?
It's another name for it. Certainty, I think, faith, belief, certainty all are rolled up into the same ball. Certainty sounds more hammered to you, as it were, but when we're talking about faith and belief, put it in there with that certainty and mix it together, because it's really one essence, one dynamics. But like I said, we have to begin certain. And when I say, a lot of times we can say that we have faith about something, but even in saying that we have faith, we really don't use the word believe that it's going to manifest. We say, well, I got faith, blah, 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 and we're wondering why the thing is not being manifested. When I speak about certainty, I'm saying that you know that you know that you know that what it is that you're looking at manifested is going to take place. It's like when God told Abraham, you know, that one day your descendants will cover this land like grasshoppers and locusts. Abraham did not see the manifestation, but he believed what was given to him in the vision. Each one of your listening audiences, people in that audience, have been given something. They know
right.
What it is. And the thing is, they've had people talk them out of it, but they know that it's in their heart, and they know that they know that they know, but they've let people steal that dream from them. What I'm challenging them to do is go back and step into the dream until it becomes a reality. Like I said, either till you go to glory or to the manifestation of that dream, make that your declaration.
Well, DeCarlo, you have just shared just powerful information with our listeners tonight that would dramatically and drastically change their lives. And I want you to share with our listeners about your website, your services, your coaching services, your seminars, and how they can contact you.
Sure. They can reach me by going to the Internet and going to ehappinesscoach.com. That's one word, ehappinesscoach.com.
So you're a happiness coach, huh?
I'm a happiness coach.
That's great. We need a lot of happiness in this world.
I agree, and I think it's closer than most people think. You know, and
right.
a lot of times, like I said, it's just a matter of us changing our mind. But if they go to ehappinesscoach.com, they'll be able to reach me. They can also go to, if they want to see some things that I put out there, books and so forth, you can type in DiCarlo, or probably need to type in D.A. Eskridge in Google. And what it's going to do is pull up a couple of sites. One site's called Scribe, and it's got a number of books out there that they can actually take for free, other books out there that they can actually pay for. But like I said, there's a wealth of information out there under my name and so forth, and they can also go out to YouTube and they can see things that I've put out there that they can meditate upon, that they can get into their spirit. And like I told you earlier, Constance, the thing is, my desire is to give it away, you know, as much as possible and still be able to make a living, because I know that the universe is going to bless that more than I can ask
right.
for or imagine. So I challenge the people out there. You know, a couple of times on your show I've offered free items out there, and surprisingly it was free, but nobody took me up on the offer. So, like I said, they can go out to these sites if they're interested, get the free items out there, upload the free e-books and so forth, and I think and I know that it's going to be a blessing for them.
So share with our listeners some of your e-book, God and the Law of Attraction, and what other e-books can they download?
They have out there God and the Law of Attraction, Change Your Life in 60 Seconds. The newest one that I have out there is called The It Factor. And The It Factor kind of touches on a lot of things that we've talked about today, about right thinking, getting their thoughts in line so that they can manifest what it is they desire. And my goal with The It Factor is to touch, in the next 5 years, 1 million people.
Oh,
now,
right.
The funny thing is, it's very possible, and sometimes it just takes linking up with one person. All of a sudden, your million people goal has been touched. But
right.
like I said, I set that out for the next 5 years, and so I'll be selling the book, but I also want to be able to give it away to the people that can't afford to buy the book. And it's not that it's expensive, but different people, different parts of the world have different things that they're going through. So, but like I said, my desire is to see lives change, and I know that happens through information and inspiration.
Well, thank you, DiCarlo, and I'm going to encourage all of our listeners to go to his website and really take advantage of those free gifts that he has for you that can really literally begin to change what you think and then change your life. And DiCarlo Eskridge, you've been a blessing to the world, and I really appreciate you sharing this great information on The Secret to an Extraordinary Life.
Thank you, Constance.
Okay, have a great evening.
You also.
Wasn't that just great? I mean, we're just getting great information here, and I'm going to encourage you again to go to DiCarlo's website and take advantage of those great opportunities. Well, we're at the end of another show. Can you believe that? But I do want to remind you once again about the Cruise to Transformation, which will be taking place May 31st through June 4th, the Law of Attraction Radio Network Cruise to Transformation. And this will be a four-night cruise to Baja California, Catalina Island, and I will be one of the featured guest on the show, and I will be presenting on the ship the Law of Attraction for Business and Wealth workshop, and I will have an opportunity to meet you face-to-face. I will sign my book, Secrets of Success, and you will have an opportunity to experience my wonderful Southern accent in person. So please go to loaradionetwork.com and click on the cruise link and just take a look at the prices. And I understand we still have some great cabins available. And wouldn't it be wonderful to cruise with, like DiCarlo said, with like-minded individuals from all over the world? I'm really excited about the cruise, and I would just love to meet you in person. Once again, thank you so much for joining me. Please email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com and just send me any information that you may want to share with me about your life and your concerns. Even if you have a particular subject that you would like for me to cover on my show, I would be more than happy to really bring a guest on to really bring you really great information that can really begin to transform your life. Well, thank you once again for joining me. Remember that you can always go to my archives at blogtalkradio.com think-believe.rss, and you can listen to all of the great Law of Attraction experts that I've interviewed over a year. So join me this same time at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And this is Constance Arnold, your host, saying to you that when you change what you think and you change what you believe, that you will begin to see miraculous miracles in your life. God bless you. Have a great week. And remember, the best is yet to come.